You have to go to the John? Do you? Go ahead, walk across the stage. I want to remember this moment always. I've had a lot of inquiries as to Ernestine Tomlin's history. Surprisingly enough, she hadn't always planned to be a telephone operator. Earlier, she'd had her heart set on being a great ballerina. Unfortunately, her dance career was cut short. One morning, she and her mother were having a little breakfast, and her mother dropped a six-pack on her instep. Shortly after that, Ernestine packed her bags and went to the city and got a job as an operator at the phone company and immediately established herself as a comer by saying to customers such things as, "Go look it up yourself. I've got better things to do." And at other times, she would say, "The number for the Bijou Theater? You don't want to see that film. It's filthy." Well, she was immediately promoted to district representative. But the odds are she's headed straight for the top. Girls, all right, now girls, settle down. We've only got a few minutes because we don't want to leave our switchboards unattended for too long. We're all here because we want to present the inspiring drama of telephone company life to people all over America. We've got a really glorious script with song, dance, comedy, and even some living pictures of the biggies in our history. Yes, what is it, Phoenicia? Very quickly, we've only got a few minutes. Yes, I did write it myself, but there are plenty of good parts for everybody, Phoenicia. Well, for instance, you play Mrs. Alexander Graham Bell. And you know Vito, that handsome repairman? He plays Alexander. I thought you'd like that. Me? Oh, yes, I do have a part. I play the sexy dance hall girl who is Alexander's mistress and electricity teacher. She inspires him to invent the telephone. Now, Phoenicia, I'm not going to argue with you. We don't have the time. There was such a person in real life, and that's all there is to it. Now, listen, girls. The play opens with Alexander. That's Vito with his shirt off. He's arguing with his wife. That's you, Phoenicia. She wants him to give up inventing things and open a paper bag store. Well, he tells her to take a flying leap at the moon, and he rushes to the arms of his lover. That's me. Where they have a brief scene in bed, and then they sing the love duet. Shut up, Phoenicia. Now, Alexander's just about to put his shirt back on when his mistress notices a rip in the sleeve. As she stitches it up by hand in candlelight, he invents the sewing machine and the electric light for her. Phoenicia, I'm not going to tell you again. Now, the next scene is in the cafe where I tap dance the big radio number while Vito invents the wheel. Then a messenger arrives with a note saying that Alexander's wife has just died. That's you, Phoenicia. Leaving us free to marry. Well, then Alexander, that's Vito and me, we sing and dance the big finale, during which I inspire him to invent the cotton gin, dry ice, airplanes, and finally the telephone. All right, now, girls, back to your switchboards. First rehearsal is tomorrow night after work. Oh, and Phoenicia, make her turn around. I want her to hear this. There are no small parts, only small actors. One ringy-dingy. Is this Mr. Hoover? Mr. Jedgar Hoover? Good. Then I have reached the party to whom I am speaking. Mr. Hoover, this is Miss Tomlin from the telephone company. It is my duty, Mr. Hoover, to discuss with you some of the abuses of your instrument. Yes. Yes, it does sound rather un-American, doesn't it? Now then, Mr. Hoover, I have your file here before me. Oh, yes, I'm sure that you have a file on me, too. After all, turnabout is fair play. Yes, it does sound perverted. Now then. Mr. Hoover, I have a delicate problem. I find that you and your agents have indulged in the illegal and unfair practice of wiretapping. Wiretapping. Oh, Mr. Hoover, listening to other people's conversations. Well, how do I know? From listening to your calls, that's how I know. Oh, no. Mr. Hoover, don't be rude. I'll make a loud noise into my mouthpiece and perhaps deafen you for life. Now, Mr. Hoover, may I ask, do you have a telephone directory handy? Good. Let us turn to page VIII and recite in unison. It is a crime under both federal and state law to use a telephone for annoying or harassing purposes, or to knowingly permit a phone under one's control to be used for such purposes. This includes calls in which the caller remains silent, etc., 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 etc. Oh, you do know the law, Mr. Hoover. Now, Jedgar, listen, is there anybody at your place listening in? Everybody, good. Let's get right to the nitty-gritty. There's absolutely no reason for your people to skulk about, electronically speaking. You can get all the information you need from us. Probably a lot more accurately, too. Good. Good, then we will be in touch. Oh, and Mr. Hoover, before you go, I must tell you how much I admire your vacuum cleaner. Hello? Mr. Hoover? Well, why do you suppose he got so huffy? I was just being complimentary. Everybody knows there's nothing like a Hoover when you're dealing with dirt. Gracious, good afternoon. This is your operator, Miss Tomlin. How may I help you? Yes, this is your New Jersey operator. How may I be of assistance? This is Rome calling person to person to Mr. Nunzio Passanello of Nunzio Passanello and Sons Import and Export. Thank you. And may I have your name and the number in Rome from which you are dialing? Well, there's no reason to take that attitude, sir. Well, I don't care who you are. It's simple company policy. Well, if we're going to play 20 questions, I'd say your voice is a little too deep to be Sophie Loren. Pardon, do I have what? No, sir. I don't even have a godmother. You're the head of what? One of the world's largest fundraising organizations? Oh, sir, just a minute. Sir, I think I know who you are. Tell me, do you believe in brotherhood? I thought so. And do you believe in large families? I knew it. And do you always drive around in a big black car and wear one enormous ring? Two or three big rings. But sir, in all the pictures I've seen of you, you're only wearing one. Oh, your magnificence, what do you mean you don't allow your picture to be taken? Sir, you're shouting. Sir, please, such language. We must have a bad connection. No, Your Magnificence. I'm sure. I didn't mean to. I know you've never had a bad connection. Sir, what is that? You'd like to kiss me on the mouth? Oh, sir, please. I know I have a seductive voice, but calm yourself. I've always admired the beautiful rituals of your institution, but I didn't know you fellows were allowed to do that sort of thing. A contract? For me? Well, thank you, sir, but I already have a contract with the phone company. Listen, Your Grace, I don't want to be Paula Pry, but just what does Mr. Passanello import and export? Religious supplies? Narcotics? You're putting me on. Pot and pills? Oh, you know, you certainly do have a sense of humor for a religious man. I knew you were a religious man. And I know, too, sir, that you depend a great deal on collections to keep your organization going. I'd like to take this opportunity to send you a dollar. Well, the same to you. Well, the same, and up yours twice on Sundays. Gracious, good afternoon. This is Miss Tomlin from the telephone company calling Miss Martha Mitchell. Have I reached the party to whom I am speaking? Oh, it's Mrs. Mitchell. Oh, I wasn't aware that you had a husband. Mrs. Mitchell, I have a work order here before me that's left me a little puzzled. You've asked for 3 phones to be installed in the John Mitchell residence, or is that the Mitchell John residence? Oh, I see. You want 3 phones installed in the Mitchell residence's John. Oh, I understand. Mrs. Mitchell, excuse me. I'm having trouble hearing you. Is that water running? Are you in the kitchen? Oh, well, I hope I haven't called at an inconvenient time. Now, about these phones, Mrs. Mitchell, I hope you realize that they must be located at least 10 feet from the tub. It must be 10 feet, Mrs. Mitchell. Well, if the phone ever fell into the bathtub while you were in it, it could create quite a shock. Well, regardless of whether you would like that or not, it is against company regulations. Very good. Now, you've also stated that you would like these phones to be colored. What color do you prefer? Beige, pink, blue, green, or yellow? Black. But you said colored. Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Mitchell. We at the phone company do not consider black colored. No, it's just an error in semantics. No, not Semitics, Mrs. Mitchell, semantics. Now, Mrs. Mitchell, I must warn you that the installation of these phones is going to be very expensive. You'd better sit down. Oh, you are sitting down. Perhaps you'll want to jot down this information. Do you have a piece of paper handy? No, Mrs. Mitchell, no, I meant a notepad. Well, can you get up and go get one? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, perhaps you can write it on the wall. Oh, there's already too much writing on the wall. Well, Mrs. Mitchell, may I safely assume that you would like these phones to be in the princess model? After all, you will be dialing from the throne. Pardon me? Yes, I do. I have your file right here before me. Well, no, I don't mind checking your record if you feel you've been overcharged. Let's see now. Oh, here's a strange item. 3 phone calls beginning at 2 a.m. to Little Rock, Arkansas, to the Arkansas Gazette for a total of 1 hour. What's that? Senator Fulbright, yes? Yes, Mrs. Mitchell. Well, personally,
Mrs.
circuit is overloaded. No wonder she didn't care if the phone fell in the tub. This broad's felt no pain in years.
When Ernestine first went on the air last year, it was just about this time, and right away I got invited to a dinner out here in Pasadena, as a matter of fact, and I think some of these ladies are sitting very close to me right now, sending out vibrations. Anyway, they gave Ernestine a cracked bell award, which they originated for her. They made her a member of the union and so forth. And then later, as I was leaving, it was so fabulous, because then as I was leaving, you know, and I was walking down to my car, they beat me up. Okay, This is going to be a stand-up piece, so I'm going to stand up for a while. All right, girls, settle down. Girls, settle down, girls. Has everybody got their dessert and beverage? Good. Let's move right along to the piece of resistance for this evening. The Telephone Company Annual Employee Awards. Girls, I can't tell you what a richly deserved honor it is for me to stand here and present these awards. For those of us who read our company newsletter, we know that I have received 17 plaques, 4 statuettes, and innumerable citations on real parchment. And let me tell you, they make wonderful decorating accents in any home. Now, girls, the first award this evening is for Miss Voice and Courtesy. It's a biggie. And it goes to the girl who has offended the public the least. The girl who over the past 12 months has received the fewest threats on her life. This award is a low-relief wood carving of our new slimline model. And may I have the envelope, please? Thank you, Vito. And the winner is this year's Miss Voice and Courtesy, this must be a mistake. Phoenicia. See me about this later. Now we'll move right along to the important... Phoenicia, please, I said, talk to me about it later. The grand award this evening is the Miss Bell Tell Cup. Phoenicia, please, sit down, eat your dessert before it all runs together. This award is for bravery beyond the call of duty and duty beyond the call of nature. It is awarded for humanitarianism, surpassing even our own telephone company's brilliant history of selfless dedication to the needs of its subscribers. This award is a personal directory listing all the names, addresses, and phone numbers of known obscene phone callers and the best hours to reach them. Girls, I thank you so much, and I accept this award. I know I didn't call for the envelope, Phoenicia. Some things we know instinctively. Girls, I accept this award with humility and somebody, please get her out of here. I cannot talk over that racket. No, just leave her dessert. She's fat enough anyway. Girls, I must share this moment with all the many little people who made it necessary for me to remain at my switchboard through so many hours of crisis. First, I'd like to thank all the victims of the flood last spring. And then there was the big fire on Christmas Eve, at the start of which I allowed one free phone call to the fire department. And who can forget the tornado season when wires were down all over town? Yes, it has been a wonderful year. And winning this award again has made it even more wonderful for me. Thank you. Chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. Well, what's the best thing that they give you at the phone company?
A paycheck.
A paycheck, she said.
They have couches in the telephone company. Sweet room.
Is that right? You're telling me? A gracious good afternoon. This is your operator, Miss Tomlin. How may I help you? You say you've lost your dime? Well, that's no problem for the telephone company. May I have the number from which you are dialing? Is that B as in boy? Boswick 99650. May I safely assume that this is a pay station? And may I have your name and address, please? Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. We will send you your dime as soon as we've checked the validity of your claim. Yes, we also like to look into our dime's return file to see if you've pulled this before. Well, madam, is that your attitude?
If that's the way you feel about it, the phone company recommends that you lump it. A gracious good afternoon. This is your operator. You've lost your dime? Yes, sir. Is that V as in boy, Boswick 99650? May I have your name and address, please? Thank you. We will send you your dime as quickly as possible. A gracious good afternoon. A gracious good afternoon. This is Miss Tomlin, your operator. How may I help you? You must let me get it out, sir. Well, far be it from me to delay your press of schedule, but some of us do take pride in our work. Now then, you say you've lost your dime? That's B as in boy, Boswick 99650. And may I have your correct address? You may expect your dime in 3 to 30 days. And as a special favor, I'm enclosing our 3-color brochure on phone etiquette. You might find it useful. Phoenicia, this is Ernestine. I know it's your day off, but this is important. You got to get over to Main and 3rd Street. Boswick 9's about to pay off. I think we've got our weekend to Tijuana all paid for. Phoenicia, take a big sack with you. And for God's sakes, don't yell bonsai when it hits like you did last time.
There is a way to strike back. When you get your telephone bill, it's on an IBM card. So take your IBM card. Put it in a basin of tepid water about an inch deep. Add a teaspoon of snowy bleach. Then soak your card for 6 to 8 minutes. Not so it gets pulpy, just so it's saturated. Then take a steam iron, a Mary Proctor preferably, and iron your card dry. You'll find that the holes will shrink just a little teeny, teeny bit.